tonight, the teaching is going to be looking at Yahweh and Yahushua, or Christ, as surgeons. And in our lives also going to be a kind of applying a concept that surgeons and doctors, not just doctors, but actual surgeons, they act different, do things different, especially if you've ever been around something like in the hospital or something. Everybody gets around, here's the nurses, here's the orderlies, here's all this stuff, and the surgeon kind of walks in their own little world. And from this perspective, it's going to hopefully kind of explain some of our own situations, just a different perspective. But before I wanted to start, I wanted to share something a little bit. Yahweh had me, it was on my heart to watch Far Away, and it was Oklahoma Land Rush with Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. Actually, it's a real romantic movie, so... but it's the writing that I like so much about it. And I really encourage everybody to periodically watch a movie with really good writing, not just to be enjoying the movie, but so that Yahweh can be teaching you what He's writing in your own life. Because you can see a really good movie and things just come together like this. You're watching The Lord of the Rings. Why would you spare Gollum? And then at the very end, is Gollum to save the day because Frodo was going to take the ring for himself and Gollum built his finger off. Well, that's good writing. And go, okay. But don't just, but watch good writing and then ask yourself, what is Yahweh writing in your own life? Because other times it looks, doesn't look like it makes any kind of sense at all. And even with Nicole Kidman what's his name? Tom Cruise. It's perfect. Especially from a parent to watch this, because here's a guy and a girl who can't stand each other, but they end up falling in love the right way. By becoming friends and partners in service to one another. At the end of the movie, they're inseparable. It wasn't flesh, it wasn't the rest of the stuff, but they fought and they helped each other out. And how did you know Tom Cruise loved her? It wasn't what it was worse, because he stood up for her. He had high, and then she did the same thing. And then at the very end of the movie, he finally gets the land, but he doesn't have the girl that was with him, so he had his dad sit on his deathbed. It's your destiny, you're going to get this land. He's getting ready to claim the land. He sits there and he looks, and there's Nicole Kidman, but she's with the villain, the guy, her suitor. And I'm here, I'm going to get what I want, and something's missing. And then the end of the movie is he ends up getting the girl in the line. So sometimes you're going to be in the same position. You're going to get to the point on the destination, and you're going to be like, wait, I think this is going to fulfill everything. But you can see, even in that movie, it was just really good writing. And that doesn't mean that everything that's going on in your life is Yahweh's will. But He is that good of a writer. He can turn it. And He can switch things and He can move things. He's really that good. I was reading Strum's. At the beginning of Strum's, this German poet, he starts this thing off and he says, "Who are we when the Milky Way galaxy, the sun, moon, stars, Jupiter, and Saturn bow down to its creator, and He gives ear to us?" That creator that created sun, moon, stars, and galaxies, and all these things bow down to Him, wants to talk to you and me. Who are we? And I'm going to go, man, your life matters in every little act. Now we'll go back to the teaching about seeing things as a surgeon. Your dad's a physician, right?
Yes.
Okay, what does he practice?
Geriatric disease.
Okay, geriatric. Does he do any surgeries?
No, never.
But it would be good to have somebody who's a doctor, because doctors live in a whole other realm. Because
he's afraid of blood.
Okay. Remember, he said that. That's not a coincidence. You know,
what did he say?
He's afraid of blood.
Awesome.
Because doctors, what would you do if a doctor was in and out of surgery and he never washed his hands and never changed his clothes? And you saw him go out of that surgery, he comes over here, he's going to come and operate on your daughter with the same surgical gloves. What would you do?
Yeah, knock his head off.
Time out. Yeah. You got to go disinfect. What are you doing? And so we're just used to these things. But if a doctor, why does a doctor wear a wipe? Isaiah? The same way a scientist does, because if anything gets spilled on it, they want to know. You don't wear camo. Camo can be very dangerous, even when you're cleaning a deer, because you don't know where the blood is. It can be very convenient, too, if you're a bachelor.
You know, in World War I, they kind of got into the idea of disinfectants and wearing clear, and a lot of the soldiers died after they went to some sort of surgery, and they get infected, and then that would kill them, not the bullet infections. Other things, where they lose their leg or something like that, but they didn't know.
And then you learned, was it, who did the antiseptics?
Lister.
Lister. So the Listerine. Okay, go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and add
it? Says Dr. Lister used carbolic acid after he, on the wound, and they got a better recovery rate.
Tell the rest of the story.
Well, then he starts doing it in the operating room.
With acid.
With carbolic acid. It's called carbolic acid. So they realize, well, if you just sterilize everything instead of just the wound, then obviously it progresses. And that's what we have today, sterilization. That's called antiseptic.
They didn't know that. Yahweh's law, they had a lot of that, but they didn't understand why they did certain things. But now we're very used to things being antiseptic, which is the opposite of septic, which is very, very, very important. If you can look at things going, you cannot be around certain things. What if Tim had AIDS, HIV positive? You didn't know. He has Ruth in his hands. The mom says, oh, how's your HIV? And then all of a sudden he got a bloody nose. How would you feel? And then he sneezes on Ruth. Oh, shoot! What would you do? You know that there's contaminants, there's septic things, there's things you got to take very, very serious, especially STDs and things. Yahweh says every sin is outside the body except for sexual immorality. Flee fornication, sexual immorality. You don't touch a woman like a wife. And STDs is a part of these things. You have no idea what you're messing with. But it's the same thing with the blood.
But
it's the same thing with the blood. The doctor, his dad's afraid of blood. When I was growing up, I didn't know. Actually, a couple of my friends who became doctors didn't even know they were smart. As the really smart ones, they don't have to tell you they're smart. Well, so you're at med school? What? You? I didn't know you're smart. But anyways, one of my friends, he's a hunter, and he's getting me into deer hunting. His brother was a med student, didn't know he's actually one of the best surgeons there is, Brett Grizzell. He's in charge of all these other things. He did lung transplants when they first came. But back to my story, Brian had come back into town, one of my best friends growing up. His brothers were all hanging outside of Brian's truck. We're going to go do something. We're going to go fishing. And Brian opens up his tailgate. And when he opens up the tailgate, his brother jumps back and, whoa! There's blood all over the inside of the bed. Everywhere. And I started laughing. I go, you're going to be a doctor and you're afraid of blood? It was a joke. He's got enough, I don't know if you want to say ego. He didn't defend it. He didn't even acknowledge my laughter. And Brian made fun of him too. We did not understand about blood. We had no idea how dangerous blood is. The same guy, his brother who made fun of him, and I, Brian, going, it's just blood. And he goes, you got to quit going to med school. It makes you afraid of everything. Which it could be balanced to that. You're living in fear. But in Brian's case, Brian nearly died 2 years later. Do you know what? From infection. A deer tick got him. It wasn't blood, but it was an infection. And even with the deer tick, how did a deer tick? And it was real embarrassing. He couldn't find a tick. And it wasn't until a nurse had to check underneath the scrotum and stuff. And they found where a tiny little tick got him. It was infection. And when Brian told me that, like, we used to make fun of your brother because of infections. And we're like, there's a whole other world we have no idea about.
Yeah.
And what in our life, Yahweh gives us instructions. He doesn't tell us how septic things are. We don't want to know how septic things are. You really don't. But he gives us our guidelines. You say, 1 Peter 1:15. If somebody turn there, read that for me.
But according as he hath called you as holy, you yourselves also become holy in all manner of behavior.
Excellent. Anybody know what the word holy means?
Set apart.
Separate. Except to be set apart. To not blend in. It's to sanctify. Especially listening to the Old Testament with word promises. Are you guys clean? David goes to the priest when he's running from Saul and he says, have you and your men kept yourself from women? Unclean. Sex. Unclean. All the rest of these things. Here's things that are clean, unclean. But Yahweh is telling us, you are called to be separate, to separate yourself, to be antiseptic.
Mm-hmm.
Can a doctor disinfect himself once a day and be fine?
No.
But how many times do we think that we can disinfect ourselves at the beginning of the day, and at the end of the day we're fine? I've done it many, many times. What just happened? A doctor would be checking stuff over and over and over again. And if a doctor got a hole in his glove after a serious surgery, you know what he would do? Stop everything. I got to go check some things out. And so I would make fun of doctors. Let us not be the same hypocrites and make fun of Yahweh's word. If he tells you not to do something, don't do it. Holy you shall be. Yahweh says he is holy. He can't go there. Brett Grizel, who is now a very successful surgeon, he wouldn't have anything to do with the deer blood. He backed off and made fun of him. How many times will people make fun of good Christians for not participating with sin? Yeah. You're in a government school. Got garbage everywhere. They're going to make fun of you. But it's your choice. Either I'm going to go into the polluted thing so I don't get mocked, or I'm going to stay separate. Brett separated himself. And now I got a whole thing. I'm going, wow, I had no idea. And Yahweh's teaching us through his word what is clean, what is unclean, and here's how you separate yourself. And we have no idea what's on the line. Sometimes we want to know what's on the line, but we really don't want to know what's on the line. Because look at some of the stuff you had to go through just to get something. Look what you had to go through to get Ruth. Had you known that at the beginning, you probably wouldn't have done it. If some of the stuff had been adopting four kids, knowing something, well, Dad, you still probably would have done it. Other people would have been like, I don't know if I want to do this. This is a lot harder than I thought. But Yahweh doesn't tell us. He doesn't overload us. And so, he's not holding out on us, but he gives us what we need. Let me see here. What would a surgeon do if during that day he was scheduled to operate on prostitutes? Do you think he'd do the exact same routine? What is a prostitute? What's the difference between a prostitute and a stay-at-home mom? Sexual transmitted diseases. This person lives in septic environments and is surrounded, not with all kinds of things. Would a doctor want to know about a prostitute? Absolutely. Everything would change. He would brief everybody that's going to be in the room. This is very serious, guys. You read about this, 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 and here's all the rest of these diseases. We just heard about one about chlamydia, how men can be carriers and girls don't. And it's horrible stuff. You're never going to get rid of it either. Not necessarily chlamydia, but some of this stuff. What if he was going to have to operate on sodomites? People call them gay. Yahweh call them sodomites. Going to go... go to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and start reading what they say about these diseases. And the doctors would say, you better be very, very, very careful. This is not taking apart an AR-15. This is not taking apart a M9 9mm Beretta. This is deactivating a nuclear weapon, possibly. It can go wrong. So there's septic environments. And like a doctor or a surgeon, they would engage and disengage. Engage and disengage. Engage and disengage. And so should we on a daily basis. Checking in, checking in, checking in. And it could be, it used to be like 3 times a day, and I think we should be doing even more. Here's what will happen with me. I'll wake up. I'll get the word on. I'll get a teaching on. I got the word down here. I got a word of faith radio upstairs. I'm going up and down. I get to hear prophecies and hearing all the rest of the stuff. I read my words. I do my prayers. I play Yahweh's music. I take notes of what the day's supposed to do. Here's the things. And you know what happens? I get very organized, and then I go out into the septic world. And you know what? Sometimes the septic world, it could be your spouse. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what they're going with. And you're going to have to go into that environment. So Yahweh goes, put on all your armor. You have no idea what you're dealing with. David, did he die in battle?
No.
You know about infections, right?
Sure.
How likely would it be for somebody living to their 70s after all that warfare?
King David.
So King David was hand-to-hand combat until he's in his 60s. No infections?
That's what killed him.
King David.
Yeah, but even then.
No, but what I'm saying is King David was protected.
Oh, sure.
He was in septic all the time, but he was checking with Yahweh. Yahweh would have said, wash this again. Yahweh would have said, go sanctify yourself. Yahweh would have taken on parts and go pray for this, go to the priest or whatever he would have done. It doesn't say what the scripture says, but we're looking at that. How did he do that? He would have been checking in and out, and so would a surgeon be, or a doctor be checking in and out. Who are we operating on? And especially if a doctor's getting ready to do surgery. I'm gonna pick up myself for a second. So I have my list. I'm very proud of myself. I think I'm very good at stuff. Probably about right here, where I need to be here. I'm a work in progress. But all of us should be getting... Are we getting better? Are we getting better? So I had a list of things I needed to do. I had not ran for my hour. My hour of the first fruits where I go pray. I pray. I actually want to know what I do. I find a dot on the wall, and I stare at the dot for an hour as I run so I can focus and pray. And I have some music, and here it is, and Yahweh telling me who needs to pray. It's a first fruit. It's just, that's something I'm telling anybody else to do. It's what Yahweh inspired me to do. And on the after I went to a meeting with Tim that didn't go the way I wanted yesterday, I was supposed to go lift weights, which is for me for the most part, and then go run for an hour. I get done with Tim, and I look down, I got a FaceTime, I have a meeting at 8 o'clock, there's not time to do both. What do you think I should not do? Work out or run? Yeah. Obviously, if I'm not going to do one, I'm going to do what Yahweh wants. I'm going to run, right?
Yeah.
As I'm driving, Rachel calls me, and she's small talk, and I'm trying to get communication because I'm running out of time, and I really got a communication. Just work out. I'm like, oh yeah, how convenient. That's like, go spend money. Just go spend some money. Yeah, right, yeah. But Rachel's talking, and I'm trying to listen, and I really think he's telling me not to run. Then Rachel goes, oh, I see you running, and I'm like, no, I don't think so. So Rachel doesn't know. It's always been in between the individual. So I go to the gym, and I'm like, I think you're telling me not to run. So I worked out. So I went and lifted weights, and you know what happened? I wasn't running. I'm lifting weights here. I'm working out. And then I met a guy from Nigeria who had just been here for two months. I look over at him, and I try to engage. The gym is a good way for me to go out and to get out into the world, to activate, to stimulate, meet people, go talk to these people. And so I did. And I said, hey, you look huge. He does look huge. and he said, I love your shirt, Body by Christ. He's been here for 2 months, doesn't know anybody. He's a student. He's been a student for a couple of years. First he was in Istanbul, Turkey, then in Germany. Now he's finishing up here as electrical engineering. I'm like, what are you, a prince? What kind of person is that? He's from Western Africa. And he goes, I don't know anybody. It's a little intimidating. I love different cultures, but I don't know anybody. I go, well, you know me, man. And I said, what you don't know about me is I've been to Africa like 5 times. It's my favorite place to go now. And he's looking at me, are you serious? He and I just started having this dialogue back and forth about Africa, West Africa, East Africa. And he's looking, and people are kind of looking at us. I got to give him a prophecy. And then after I turned, I walked out. As I was walking out, I went, it's because he wasn't running. He was lifting. Yeah. But I was irritated when Yahweh changed the plans. Have you ever had plans?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, don't do that. Oh, make up your mind. Left or right. You told me. Oh, I was so irritated. Have you ever had that? All of a sudden, just tell me what to do. But could it be that Yahweh's working with people that have freedom of will? And there's so many different moving parts. I could see even a doctor, a physician doing an artery. He's operating. He tells the nurse to do this. He goes, change the plan to do this. What do they do? Do it. They just do it. Yahweh's working with us too. And if we're flexible, we get to be a part of some really neat things. We see, so in my case, I was going to say in Proverbs 9:8, it says, correct a wise man and he will thank you. The word correct is Strong's number H3191. It actually says reprove or rebuke, but it's also the same word for correct. Yahweh's corrected, did the course corrections in my own life, and I try to reprove them. I don't know it's him, obviously. I'm like, I got this list. I have everything on the list but this, but I'll do it. And it's not necessarily a correction in the plan he has for you, that plan for the day. I think it's a revised plan of us checking in. You're working with like a surgeon. Think about somebody like a Hacksaw Ridge. And here this guy is, you've got people blowing up everywhere. He's just work with me, do this, just do it. And when we're working with Yahweh and his son Christ, who's running everything, it's like a Hacksaw Ridge. And he's going to go do this, change that. You go, I don't care what you do or don't do. What really helped me that is as I was kind of contemplating what happened last night, I got really edified to get to prophesy this guy from Nigeria. He's on WhatsApp. I got to invite him to fellowship after somebody suggested. I didn't even think about it. But I'm like, wow. And I go, Yahweh didn't change the plan. He revised it. And how many times is that going to happen in the military? Go here, change the direction, do this. And in sports can be the same way too. Just do what the coach says. You want to keep the job? You want to stay on the field? Do what the coach says. Now I'll be playing football, and there'll be some guys who love to argue with the coach because the coach wouldn't, the words weren't very eloquent. And the coach would sometimes contradict himself, so they would argue with the coach. Guess who wasn't on the field? I don't care what they say. I want to be on the field. It's my paycheck. And we got to do the same thing with Yahweh and Christ. Do whatever he tells you to do. But in order to do it, you got to be disinfecting yourself. You have to be... We're in a current evil age. It says that, doesn't it? We're warned. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, right? Everybody else, I think everybody even in this room probably has something septic about us. So we should be walking along, going to be, you know, possibly disengaging, engaging, checking in with Yahweh. What do we need to be doing, not doing? And then how do you do it? Because I get so frustrated. Could you just tell me what you want me to do? And one of the things that really gets me is, I don't want to go off on tangents. I'm going to try not to. It was in the Minor Prophets. And I think it was Hosea, or which one, but he comes up to the priests and he says, if the priests have a clean piece of meat for the altar, and it's sanctified, and it touches something unclean, is it clean? The priest and Aaron, what do the priests say? It is unclean. If a man who is sanctified and clean walks and he touches somebody who's unclean, is he clean?
No.
What did the priest say? I just didn't have the scriptures. The priests respond, it is unclean. And then Yahweh was talking about all it. I think it was Israel. Is unclean. Our lives also, it's up to us how clean or unclean we are. Are we sanctified? Or are we septic? It says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? There is no fellowship with it. And the purpose isn't to stick to the plan. The purpose isn't to stay beside your spouse or to keep your kids or whatever, which could be a part of it. The purpose is to be holy even as he is holy. And wherever he goes, I want to go. And if I take care of that, Matthew 6:31 says he'll take care of all my stuff. He'll take care of your wife. Wouldn't that be great? Exactly. We prayed about it. What are the desires of your heart? And wherever he's going, I'm going. Peter said that in John 6:6. He says, Jesus Christ said, I only say what my Father tells me to say. And he says some things. He started really confusing him. Everybody starts leaving. And they go, everybody's leaving. Peter and Jesus Christ goes, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter goes, where will we go?
Yeah.
But wherever you go, I'm going to go. Let's be like Ruth. Wherever he's going, just to follow him. And in order to follow Jesus Christ, you have to be disinfecting yourself on a daily basis. Disengaging. Looking for the lust of the flesh. Are you impulsive? Are you being a reactionary? Is your thoughts harassing yourself? And if they are, a lot of times that is an indication that your flesh, you need to just take a step back. Disengage. Go get in the Word, Word of Promise, watch some YouTube or something, and just completely separate yourself and remind yourself, my Father's a God of peace, not a God of confusion. He doesn't need to scare the heck out of me with reasoning why everything's going wrong. He just says, go and I go. He says, do this and do that. And actually, a lot of times in my own life, and a lot of times here, he just tells people what to do, and they have no idea of the things that they avoided. Who's communicating to you? Who's giving you the information? Is it harassment? Is it a thought process you can't shut down? Are you sleeping at night? Not sleeping at night? Can you go through a list of why you have to do this? But if it's a peaceful fluttering and there's no thought trails, you come back and okay. So when we are being harassed, there's a good chance that you have become septic. All you got to do is disinfect. I have to separate myself and go back to go, my Father doesn't talk to me like that. I got to change my mind completely off of all that's going on. Walk, go sing a song, whatever. And then when all of a sudden when your mind's completely off it, follow it, then he'll tell you what you need to do. And then that's when you become sanctified again. Separate yourself. Separate. But we have no idea. Yahweh told me September 10th to stay up and pray. I did not. And that was when the terrorists attacked. He didn't explain himself to me. I'm kind of glad he did, but golly, did I miss it on that one? The next day when I was in personal training, mom, they said plane flew in. I went like this. I went, that was it. Have you ever done that? You weren't obedient?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you didn't do it. The next day you knew exactly. You were like, that was it. I went, man. I see. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So we look at, a lot of times when we're looking at the Word, it looks like we're correcting people. We're correcting ourselves. We've got to fix things. We've got to do so many things. And that could be part of it. But my dad's real good at not saying absolutes. Don't try to make complete absolutes. Don't say absolute words and phrases. Why does Yahweh tell us to do certain things? Well, we have ideas. Why does he tell us to do that? I just know what he tells me to do, and I have some very good ideas of why, but I don't know all the why. The creator of the heavens and earth does not have to explain himself to me, and I'm glad he doesn't, because my head would explode. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, what does it say?
I wrote unto you in my letter, not mixing yourself up with fornicators.
And then we go, I'll keep reading. Not at all meaning the fornicators, that's just sexual immorality, that could be pornography, whatever, of this world, covetous, extortioners, idolaters. Else had ye been obligated in the case to go out of the world, but now have I written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. If anyone named a brother be a sexual immorality, or covetous, or idolater, or reviler, drunkard, extortion, with such a one as this, not so much as to be eating. Septic. There's a lot of different things. It's not just, they do need to be shunned. Jesus Christ went and ate with him, and they go, hey, what's his problem? Actually, you're his problem. What do you mean I'm his problem? You're a fornicator. What's a fornicator? It's like a gladiator, right? Matt Goldberg. It's sexual immorality. And that guy won't... What do I got to do with that guy? The Jews are like this all the time. They couldn't eat with unbelievers. And here's all these different rules and stuff. And go, fine. But if you want to be with those people, here's what you got to do. Jesus Christ wouldn't have done it. So there's a part of shunning that people need to know what they're doing is wrong. And what does a doctor have to do with a hypocritical oath if somebody's doing certain things? You got to warn people, the CDC. But if somebody's a fornicator, a drunkard, an idolater, that's just that. That's a septic environment, and you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. And you'll see this the first couple of times, especially being a teenager. The first time you start being around this stuff, it's going to really bother you. Second time, not so much. Third time, these guys are kind of funny. I don't agree with what they're doing, but they're kind of funny. Fifth, sixth time, they're not that bad. And it starts growing. You know what that means? You've been infected. You got the same thing. And also you can't even see. You see here.
Hippocratic.
Hypocratic.
That's hypocritical. It is.
Yeah, no, Hippocratic, okay. Yeah. Now, we're looking about the things we're doing or not doing. It's not so much about reproving people. It's about you being holy so you can finish your race. This life is going to be gone. Just like that. Just like that. There's a country song that says, don't blink. I got clients. One client was 99 years old. And she sat there, and I got to go to the nursing home, and she goes, it goes so fast, Aaron. It just goes so fast. What did you do with what you had? If we're thinking about things being septic, not septic, and if we just separate ourselves to be holy, like with a surgeon, then what we'll do is we'll start separating ourselves so we can actually hear and know what we need to do. If we're focusing on the thousand-year kingdom and the jobs, that just changes so much. Because what's going to happen after the thousand-year kingdom? Is there any end to that?
Yeah.
No, there's no end after the thousand years. I can't wrap my mind.
Thousand years ends.
After the thousand years.
Oh, after.
Can your mind comprehend a trillion years?
No.
Can you even comprehend living 300 years? Okay, it's very difficult to even go there. It's like what Christians talk about going to heaven. I can't even comprehend it. It doesn't even make any sense. But Yahweh did give us that there's a thousand years where we're going to be there. What jobs are we going to be doing? We look at this. What if Donald Trump... Now, I was very, very blessed. I got to give a prophecy for Chris Kobach. I got to pray for that guy. I got to talk to him on the phone, exchange phone numbers. And here I am. I'm a nobody.
Son
of Yahweh. But here I am. Yahweh is giving this guy counsel. I'm like, what a God. Yahweh is so wonderful. But what if Donald Trump contacted me? Aaron, how are you doing? Actually, I got a voicemail from him. Donald Trump, sorry, I got saved. Yes, President Trump. I need you to contact Chris Kobach. And I want you to tell him A, B, and C. You got that? Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. Whatever you say. What if I never did it? I did call Chris, but he told Chris to stop doing those campaigns. You know, what if it was somebody I didn't want to... Let's just say I did call Chris, and Chris goes, what's going on? Well, I talked to President Trump. You did? Yeah, I sure did. He's a nice guy. What did he tell you? What if I didn't deliver the message? What if I said something else? What if President Trump was listening and watching what I did with that message? Do you think he would ever use me ever again?
No.
He'd be like, you blew it. Yahweh is sending you and you and you and you and me messages every single day. deliver this message. President Trump just works for our dad. Are you delivering the messages? And if you don't deliver that message to warn somebody, you're in a septic environment, you're going to die, or you're going to marry the wrong person, or you're going to go bankrupt, or whatever. If you're not delivering it, just don't expect any more messages. Think about that. How many times, like, oh, why doesn't he ever answer me? He's not going to send you anything until you do the first thing. Because here's Donald Trump. If he was watching, if he had NSA watching all these things, yes.
Sometimes the answer is no.
It could be. But with a lot of us, you go back there. Did you do what he told you to do? And in my case, one of my weaknesses is reproving people because I really like people. Did you tell them? Did you deliver it? Nope. Just don't expect anymore until you do your job. And you know how many times I've been where I was wanting something? I had a huge need. And I wasn't getting anything. And do you know why I was getting nothing? I go trace it back because I didn't do my job. I just had that just another day. Rachel said some things that really irritated me, and I'm trying to minister to her. And she said some things that I'm going, Rachel's going through some rough times, I'm being there for her, but she snapped on me and insulted me, and I'm like, you just pushed it. I'm like, I've been there 4 times today, and here I am. And then I thought about it afterwards, justifiable. She shouldn't have said what she said, whatever. And do you know what happened that night? I had the craziest nightmares. I don't have nightmares. I got up and I'm like, I'll apologize. I'm sorry. Guess what? I went right back to sleep. Thank you. Because you know what would happen if I didn't apologize and I didn't do what I was supposed to do? Everything's cut off. And I think about how many times we've blown it and then we want it to go back again, and it's never going to be quite the same. If you got bad credit, it just takes some time to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what bad credit is? You don't pay your debts. Hey, Elijah, can I borrow $5? You never pay me back. Oh, I'll pay you back this time. That's called bad credit. So all of us will get bad credit. It's going to take some time to work on it. But that 1,000-year job, we start checking in. Can you handle this? Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to need to be reproved. In 1,000 years, there's going to be septic things. That is not holy. They're going to die a premature death. Well, they're not going to listen to me. I didn't tell you that they're going to listen to you. I told you to warn them. Will you do it? I'm not going to do it. Okay. But he's looking. Look where Mike Pompeo is right now. Man, talk about, golly, did he get exalted so quickly? Now he's like the highest guy there is. But yeah, President Trump is watching. He needs tough guys. Now, one of the neat things is, is the book of Esther, ports to page 498. As we're looking at writing, septic, non-septic, and trying to understand things. And especially like Stephen or any of us, do you have a big question mark? Is there a need that's still missing? That you've been wanting this forever? Your speed or whatever? What are you going to do once you get the speed? Elijah did that, or Isaiah did a teaching on lepers. 10 lepers got healed. Only one came back and thanked them. I've been the other 9 before. Well, I got what I wanted. I never went back. Mm-hmm. So when you get your speed, getting the speed is going to be the easy part. Esther, page 498, is going to be a perfect example of checking in.
What chapter?
Chapter 9. Chapter 9 of Esther. Of checking in. Why should we check in? The septic environment, continue checking in, whatever. You can imagine the medics, like field medics today. What's going on here? What's going on with that? Be careful with that one thing. Are you kidding me? Well, all the rest of the stuff, okay? Checking in, that's what we should be doing. Praying each day. How are you? Prophesying, meeting, and getting disinfected. And how many times I was in really, really good fellowship. Everything was going great. And then I went and got a prophecy, usually from one of you three. And all of a sudden, I got a whole nother course was opened up. I didn't even know. And it was through that prophecy that I was like, I would have missed that whole thing coming to prophesy. And then Yahweh goes, go this way. I go that way. My whole life has changed. On Esther, when you first read the book of Esther, who's the bad guy, kids?
Haman.
What is he? He's an Agagite. What does Haman want to do? He wants to wipe out all the Jews, right? Okay. But when you read about Haman getting wiped out, that's not the end of the book of Esther, is it?
Nope.
No, it wasn't. So Haman does get wiped out. If you look at chapter 9, verse 5. Well, just keep your finger there. We're going to go there in just a second. Now, this is really for people that have read the book of Esther a lot and are really familiar with the story. This will make sense. Vashti, the very beginning of it, this beautiful queen that King Ahasuerus loses. That's a weird way to start any story. A party for 180 days or half a year, and then this happens, and that's the beginning of the story? What's up with that? Then Mordecai tells Hadassah not to tell anybody she's a Jew. Okay, what's going on with that? Mordecai refuses to bow to
Haman.
What's the result of that?
Yeah.
Haman's going to kill all the Jews. What do you think was going on in Mordecai's heart? Have you ever been obedient, but you didn't know why you're supposed to do it? And then you're your own worst enemy afterwards? Yeah. You're going, everybody's going to die, Mordecai. You had to be a tough guy. Here's Mordecai, because he wouldn't bow down. And he wouldn't do it, because I could just imagine, Mordecai, why didn't you bow down? Everybody's going to die. Thanks, Mordecai. That would have been me if I was Mordecai. After that, what happens next? Haman is exalted. After Haman is exalted, and Haman's going to kill everybody, Esther risks her life to go before the king. When she goes before the king says, what do you want, up to half the kingdom? She goes, I'm not going to tell you, I'll tell you next time. Does that make sense?
No.
It didn't make any sense. None of this doesn't make any sense when you're looking at it that way. She goes, do another banquet. You risked your life for this. What's going on? But since she did have everybody fasting for her, and she goes, another banquet? Are you kidding me? Would that seem kind of cocky? At least to me. You're going to do it again. That night, what happens? The king cannot sleep. Kind of like me apologizing to Rachel if she's watching. King could not sleep. What happened? Mordecai saved your life. What do we do for Mordecai? Nothing. At the same time, Haman goes and builds a gallows. Perfect time, right? She risks her life again. Haman is killed. And all those things can be worked out, okay? But Haman's killed, right? The bad guy's dead. But in 9 verse 5, what does it say? Because after this, there's still an edict. Mm-hmm. That how do you wipe out the Jews? Well, you say, hey, you get all their property. Take all their stuff. And actually, what Haman says, we're going to give you 10,000 talents to the king. You'll make money on it. Really? Yeah, okay. But in verse... Esther goes back to the king. I think it was it three times that she went back?
Twice.
It was twice.
No, for the scepter, yeah. He was in the apartment.
And then later on, but she has to go... He can't undo that the Jews are going to get wiped out. But he can say you guys can fight. So what do the Jews do? Verse 5. So then the Jews... Malai, why don't you read that for me?
So then the Yehudis smote all their enemies with the smiting of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and they dealt with them who hated them according to their pleasure.
How many died in verse 6, sorry?
Yea, in Shushan, the palace, did the Yehudis slay and destroy 500 men.
Okay, did we know about these 500 men before Haman?
Mm-mm.
No. These little cockroaches were hiding back in the... Could you always see this septic environment? Oh yeah, there's 500 Hamans that Yahweh had to get rid of. You just get rid of Hillary Clinton, you're not gonna clean out the CIA, you're not gonna clean out the Department of Justice, you're not gonna clean out the FBI, you're not gonna fix all the rest of these things. The Hillary Clinton's just a part of it. Haman's wiped out 300. Okay, now 500 dies there. You scroll around over to verse 15, another 300 men die. Now I got 800 Hamans. After the 800 Hamans, Elijah, would you read verse 16?
Yeah.
And what's neat is the king keeps coming back. What's the body count?
And the remainder of the Jews who were in the provinces of the king assembled themselves together and stood for their life, and they had rest from their enemies, having slain of them that hated them 75,000.
Wow.
Not on the spoil thrust they not forth their hand.
How many Hamans were there?
75,000.
75,500. Yeah, and that, I don't know if that includes Haman and his 10 sons.
Huh.
Wow. We're looking in our political situation, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It appears that way. We need to disengage. It's not getting worse. Yahweh knew how bad it was. Our obedience and us disinfecting is this important. There are 75,000 Hamans. Yahweh could see the whole thing. He can see all these little dirt bags everywhere. He does the same thing in our lives. Confront this, do this. And what do you think? Do you think that would help Esther's life? Esther and Mordecai, we don't just need to get rid of Mordecai. There's 75,000 people we got to get rid of too, okay, guys? I'll see you later. Thanks a lot, Yahweh. Oh, I was stressed out. It was just Haman. Now I got to win a major battle.
Yeah.
You don't want to know about the 75,000 Hamans. Neither do I. You don't want to know how septic and how bad it is. In the movie Hacksaw Ridge, that guy, if you watch that writing in it, he doesn't want to know how bad it's going to get because it wouldn't help the situation, right? Just tell me what I need to know, and that's what kind of father we have. He tells you what you need to do. Do it. Understand you're in a current evil age. And what happens with all of this? Oh my goodness, if you start looking at the writing of the book of Esther and put yourself in the same situation, where are you in the writing of your story? In the pit? Are you up here? Or like right now, I'm like, I'm feeling so good. I'm like, I better not get cocky now, right? You too, right? I'm a freshman on varsity. Okay. Pride come before the fall. Now here's 75,000 Hamans getting wiped out. That's a pretty big thing, right? Why? Because at this point in this storytelling, what was in jeopardy of getting wiped out?
The Christ line.
The Christ line. I don't know if the angels can see the future. I have a tendency to think they can because the angel that told Gideon, mighty man of valor, he wasn't mighty at that point. I wonder if he could see or Yahweh told him. The Christ line is getting ready to get wiped out. That's the big thing. The Redeemer. The Redeemer that's going to fix. Can you imagine if the angels didn't see the future? Hey, Abraham's on the line, boss! Abraham, your buddy! Moses is on the line! King David's on the line! Everybody's going to get wiped out. Relax, do your job. I got it. The Creator of the whole heavens. He'll tell you what to do. Because what happens here is when the Christ line is getting ready to wipe out, what did Yahweh use this situation and the dreams of Mordecai, the dreams with Mordecai and all the rest of this? He uses this, what was intended to wipe out the Christ line, as a foundation for King Cyrus to rebuild the temple. Because what happens next? And then you read the next. And it looks like it's the end. But we're talking about living a life in a septic environment, but with a perfect. And we can't even understand 1,000 years living under his reign, but he's watching. He goes, look, don't stress yourself out. Can you handle this? Your kids are going to hate you. You knew that before you had kids, right? Yeah, I just didn't know I was going to be this tough. I got one. I'm like, oh, I feel sorry for myself. But the point isn't the kids. The point isn't the wife. The point is what jobs are we want, and the point is to make him proud of us. And is he even near us? See how many times that I thought I was walking right beside Christ like I was at the fair and you turn around? Where is he? And every once in a while you're going to have to run up to go catch him. Go find your fellowship. Check in. It could be going on a walk. Going in and out. What I was seeing with the book of Esther, when you looked at Haman, which obviously was the hands and feet, reminded me of Barack Obama trying to wipe out the body of Christ, it looks easy to read that story and go, we got to kill Haman. But what does Yahweh look at? Yahweh goes, I don't want to just cut out Haman. I want to cut the whole tumor out. And what did he do? He cut the whole tumor out. The whole tumor in Persia. Because Persia was infected and septic. What did Yahweh do? Cut the whole tumor out and rebuilt everything. And then other people became Jews. And what else? What happened with that? I love the book of Esther. Yahweh amputated one of Satan's hands. It wasn't just Haman. You don't got me tricked. He had 75,000 Hamans. Haman was just number one right now. But Hillary Clinton got struck dead. We got Bueller, we got Brennan, we got all kinds of things. But I'm going to go, okay, I don't want to know how bad it is. Just show me how to be in the world, but not of the world. Remind yourself, let me see here. Yeah, let's see. Now. Oh. No, well, I guess that's the whole teaching. But just reminding ourselves about fornication, sexual immorality, kids especially with pornography and stuff. You think your parents are just telling you what to do? You have no idea how bad this is. The best thing I heard, explanation I heard about pornography, you've seen the all-seeing eye on Lord of the Rings? Once the ring goes on, it goes... Because I've talked about men saying they see something on that and they could feel like something pulling them in. There is something. Yahweh goes, stay the heck away from it. It's like having a friend with HIV that has a bleeding problem. You're not, nothing personal, I'm just not your guy. Separate yourself with your spouses. You have no idea what people are going through. Give people the benefit of the doubt. In and out, in and out. Especially for kids. You kids, especially you Israelites, how many people are in your house? How many different ways can your house easily get sick? Got all these different things going on, but what if two or three of you guys are checking in, going, and he'll show you how to neutralize things. But again, that's it. Okay, well, I'll give a prophecy. Oh, I forgot to give my joke. What kind of shoes do frogs wear?
Oh,
open toed.
Father,
I thank you for my mom's birthday. I thank you that for every believer that's here. I thank you for you and for all that you've done, and that the sun, moon, stars, and Jupiter bow down to you. The universe is inside our own body, and the DNA bow down to you. The birds give their breath to you, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh. Let everything with breath praise you." And you've given us freedom of will to live like a beast or live like a son of Elohim. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to earn our reputation in this life and to earn our positions, just as your son earned the seat at the right hand. I thank you for helping us not look to the left or right of the people in our life, but to look to your son to say our husband might not deserve it, our wives might not deserve it, our kids might not deserve it, our country might not deserve it, but the real question is, does Yahweh and Christ deserve it? What do they deserve? And I thank you that as we do that, that we are able to separate ourselves from the baggage and luggage of this world and run a race in a way in which to win, like the Apostle Paul was able to do. And we thank you that nobody can give us satisfaction and fulfillment like you. And you are the best story maker, and you designed us, and we just thank you for these words. Do not be fearful of the future, but check in daily, and I will help you write the best future ever. For there is many futures for my children who obey me. And I write masterful things, masterful things. And as you consider some of the greatest writers ever, what if some of these writers like Tolkien were writing a story just for you? What if C.S. Lewis, what if you were C.S. Lewis' favorite granddaughter, and he's going to write a story with you as a main character? What would he write? Now think about your perfect father and your Lord and Savior. Help them write this character, write this life. And this life, when it's over, you'll have that book forever. For everybody else to read, and you'll be very thankful for every act of obedience. Amen.